Here, welcome. This is a special meeting of the Board of Directors of Triumph Gulf Coast. We thank the Board of County Commissioners of Bay County for allowing us to use their chambers today. And Ms. Skelton, would you please call the roll?
Vice Chairman Bentz?
Here.
Dr. Dana?
Here.
Chair Gates?
Here.
Mr. Lee?
Here.
Mr. Riggs? And Mr. Schoaf is running through the parking lot. He'll be here momentarily. And with that, Mr. Chairman, a majority of the total number of all the board of directors shall constitute a quorum, and I would tell you that we have that majority and a quorum is present.
Thank you very much. Quorum being present, the meeting is called to order. This is a meeting that is called to commence at 9:30 and to end at 11 o'clock. We will have a hard ending at 11 o'clock. We will lose our quorum at 11. So our meeting will be done at 11. If there are others who would like to stay and talk amongst themselves, you're welcome to do so as long as the county lets us have the room. But we believe that since we have but two items on the agenda today, that we ought to have sufficient time to cover those items. I'd like to begin by calling on our legal counsel, Mr. Remington, since a question has arisen, given the fact that we don't have all members of our board with us this morning because this is a special meeting and not everyone's travel plans and meeting schedules and lives could be adjusted to fit to be here. What constitutes a necessary majority to pass an action today, Mr. Attorney?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is this microphone on?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay. Thank you. When Mr. Schoaf arrives, which I anticipate his arrival shortly, we will have five members present. Whether we have five members present or four members present, we have a quorum. And in either case, it will take three members of the board to pass a resolution of
All right.
those present.
Are there any questions about that? Because my understanding is that a question has arisen about that matter.
Mr. Chair, just one other note on that.
Yes, sir.
If for some reason there's a tie vote, our bylaws indicate that tie votes will carry over to the next regular meeting.
All right. Any further questions or comments about that? If not, Mr. Attorney, we'll come back to you for another matter on which we're asking you to opine later in the meeting. But we do have two items on our agenda. The first item has to do with the role of Triumph in post-hurricane economic recovery in the hurricane-affected areas. There are several issues here that we will try to get through. We have a letter from our Chief Financial Officer, Jamie Petronas. We have a report from Ms. Skelton, who has met with the Department of Emergency Management. There are members of the board who have met with legislative leaders in Tallahassee, and so we'll have a number of inputs into this conversation, but this matter was brought to us and placed on our agenda by Speaker Benz, and so, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to recognize you for any comments you'd like to make about the role that you believe we ought to take in post-hurricane economic recovery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me make sure. Am I on?
Yes, sir.
Good. Okay. Clearly, we had a problem here from Bay over to Wakulla County, especially Bay, Gulf, and Franklin counties. We had a real problem with Hurricane Michael. We received a very nice letter from CFO Petronas suggesting that perhaps we might want to utilize some of the Triumph funds for bridge loans, et cetera, to help in the recovery. Like probably all members of this board, I've also had phone calls saying, you know, what can Triumph do to help? I've also had phone calls from folks saying, Triumph, you're supposed to create jobs. You know, other folks in other hurricanes around the state, Hurricane Irma, to name one, Harvey, et cetera, over in Texas, have received hundreds of millions of dollars, maybe even billions, from the state. And look, the citizens of Bay, Gulf, and Franklin and Wakulla counties contributed to help folks in Hurricane Irma last year. Why can't they help us? Why do we need to be using Triumph money to help us through hurricane recovery? I've heard both sides of the argument. And frankly, today I look forward to hearing from the audience your thoughts on that particular issue. So I will tell you that I have, in my own mind, I am very concerned about utilizing Triumph money for anything except economic recovery, except for if there are ways that we can create jobs and do economic development and do hurricane recovery at the same time, I'm all ears. And I suspect there's some clever people in this room who can come up with manners in a manner in which we can do that. So, having said that, I'm inclined to perhaps salt away, put in a reserve, whatever you want to call it, up to $15 million to help in Hurricane Michael recovery. It's not giveaway money. I expect it to be repaid in my own. I'm just one vote. I think we need to be very careful and cautious how we do this. I can tell you there are a lot of folks that are unhappy with me and some of the Triumph board members. Welcome to the real world. The line's long for me, I can tell you that. But about, hey, you're so tight-fisted with your money. You put these clawbacks in these projects, and, you know, it's almost impossible to get a deal through Triumph. Well, you know, for many of you in this room that were here about 6 years ago, remember Red Pine? Nod your head. We, the Bay County EDA gave Red Pine, the pie in the sky, great company, $6 million up front. I think it was, no, $600,000 up front. It never showed up, and we were out $600,000. I don't want that to happen again, especially with Triumph. I'm not saying that totally, every deal I do, I look at that, but I think about it. Because everything we do at Triumph, we need to make sure that if we're going to pass out money, we need to make sure that there are the appropriate clawbacks, that if you don't perform, if you decide to do a Red Pine, you're going to feel some pain, a lot of ugly pain. And sometimes some of the folks that have applied for money with Triumph don't like that. And I'm sorry, but we were charged as Triumph board members with making sure that we spend this money thoughtfully and deliberately to improve the economy of Northwest Florida. And if there's a way that we can dovetail that philosophy into hurricane recovery, I'm all for it. I don't want us to compete with the private sector in any way or fashion. If we do some hurricane recovery, I think we should be very cautious about that. But having said that, I would propose, not a motion yet, Mr. Chairman, but I'd like for members of this board to begin debating the issue of if we want to do a fund for hurricane recovery, if so, how much, and if so, I would suggest that we let council determine how we can do it and meet the statutory requirements that we're under to spend the money properly. The last thing we want is a bad Auditor General report a year from now saying that you misspent the money not according to Florida statutes, and then our future funding is in jeopardy. That really concerns me. The other issue that I want to mention is I do think that I'm so happy with our legislative delegation. I think Jay Trumbull has asked for $120 billion. I'm exaggerating, okay? Everybody exaggerates from time to time. But I love it. He is all over Hurricane Michael recovery. George Gaynor is all over Hurricane Michael recovery. There are numerous bills. Our chairman has been walking the halls, from what Susan Skelton tells me, has been walking the halls of the Senate trying to make sure that this next $80 million, which, by the way, will come in March, from BP that we can receive that money. And thanks to Chairman Gates, he's received some pretty good feedback on that. No guarantees, a lot of baseball left. That's a lot of money out there. But, you know, I think we need to make sure that we also, from a Triumph perspective, let the state know that we're not tone deaf. We probably need to do something from Triumph. And if we can tie it to economic recovery in some way or fashion, I'd love to do that. So having said that, Mr. Chairman, if you'd like to open up the floor to debate and questions and comments from the audience.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Our executive director has met with the Department of Emergency Management so that we could get a sense of where that department is in carrying out what it knows it is able to do right now prior to legislative appropriations being made. Given the determination that the President and Governor DeSantis made and the negotiation that they came to bring another $500 million in debris removal dollars to Northwest Florida, desperately needed. And so there's news from the Department of Emergency Management. And Ms. Skelton, could you bring some to date on your report and your conversations with them?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, in your packet, there's a chart that looks like this. This is from the governor's budget. It's the Hurricane Irma and Michael projected costs and reimbursements. And it will show you that the estimated cost right now of Hurricane Michael total is $1.543 billion.
And, Ms. Kelton, if I could just interrupt you. This is a chart that we're looking at. If any members of the audience would like to have this chart,
we can have it posted on the website.
It will be posted on our website. It's already a public document, but in case you haven't had a chance to look at it, it'll be on our website. It comes from the governor's office. I'm sorry, Ms. Kelly.
Right. This was part of the presentation of the budget director to the House Appropriations Committee this week in Tallahassee. The total cost estimate for Michael is 1.543 billion dollars. The anticipated FEMA reimbursement at this point, and this is at the rate that we're currently holding, is $942 million. And so this cost to the state at this point appears to be approximately $601 million. And just so you're aware, as of this morning, the numbers filed with the Office of Insurance Regulation and the CFO's office indicate that $5.5 billion in insurance claims have been made against Hurricane Michael to date, and that number continues to grow as the weeks go by. So that'll give you an idea of the magnitude of the storm that we're dealing with here. We'd like to thank Director Jared Moskowitz and the staff of the Division of Emergency Management and the Executive Office of the Governor for taking the time to work with Corey and me to provide you all with a better understanding of how the FEMA reimbursement process will work over the next several years. We met with Mr. John Bussey, the Chief of Staff, and Mr. Kevin Guthrie, the Operations Chief, yesterday, and they were very gracious in explaining the mechanics of what local governments can expect over the next several months and years. There will be multiple federal, state, and nonprofit funding streams that will be accessed. And just to give you an idea, for Hurricane Irma, there have already been at least a dozen separate federal appropriations bills, and Irma is a storm that preceded Michael going through the process. President Trump has agreed to a 100% reimbursement of all Category A, which is debris removal, and Category B, emergency protective measures expenditures, for the 45 calendar days immediately following the storm. That's 100% for all the counties that were declared emergency disaster areas, regardless of whether they are an urban county or a rural county. As part of the executive orders issued after the storm by the state of Florida, the DOT will pay 100% of debris removal costs for fiscally constrained counties pursuant to statute section 288.0656 of the Florida statutes. Franklin, Gulf, and Wakulla counties will pay no debris removal costs. The state of Florida is picking up 100% of all debris removal for those three counties. So, obviously, Bay County will have debris removal costs, but the other three will not. The Division of Emergency Management has reinstituted an expedited needs funding agreement with FEMA. This hasn't been used in the past several storms, but for this storm and going forward and retroactively to the storms that are still pending costs, the once a project worksheet, which is basically an application for reimbursement, is deemed 20% complete in the FEMA review process, and they have thresholds that they look for to, and they will tell you this worksheet is now 20% complete. The state of Florida can release 50% of the requested amount, with the balance to be released upon final completion of the FEMA review. And just a really happy note, Mexico Beach was the first municipality to submit a project worksheet under the new process. And within 4 weeks of applying, the city has already received $2.1 million in reimbursement for the first 14 days of recovery. And this number will be adjusted due to the president's declaration, but the city already has a check in hand from FEMA for that amount. So, just so you understand, the key overarching federal law is the Stafford Act. And the Stafford Act is what everybody in the United States deals with when they deal with emergencies. And generally, all counties and cities within the declared disaster area are eligible for a reimbursement match of 75% federal money to 25% local money. The federal law, combined with the state statute that I already cited, allows for the state to pay one-half of the required local match for the fiscally constrained counties of Franklin, Gulf, and Wakulla. If a threshold of $2.7 billion in obligated funding by the state and local governments in response to the hurricane is met, the reimbursement match rate is adjusted to 90% federal and 10% local, or for the small counties, 90% federal, 5% state, and 5% local. FEMA works in two different pots, the individual assistance and the public assistance. For our purposes, we're dealing with public assistance only. I've listed you out the categories, A through G. Categories A and B are the immediate response costs. That's debris removal and emergency protected measures. The other categories are road and bridge repair, water control facilities, public building, public utilities, and parks and recreational facilities. Category A and B expenses are completely covered for the first 45 days. All Category A expenses, debris removal for Franklin, Gulf, and Wakulla are 100% covered by DOT. All Category A and B expenses after the first 45 days for Bay County and its cities will be 75 federal and 25 local, or if we meet the threshold of $2.7 billion, 90% federal and 10% local. For Franklin, Gulf, and Wakulla and their cities, it would be 75 federal, 12.5 state, 12.5 local, or if the threshold is met, 90% federal, 5% state, and 5% local. As of February the 7th, the state of Florida agencies have already spent $1.1 billion in Category B emergency protective measures expenditures, and the state fully expects us to reach the $2.7 billion threshold. We are already at $2.5 billion, and the clock is still ticking. Categories C through F, which are road and bridge through public utilities, are 100% reimbursable, but governments have to expend the funds before they can be reimbursed for the expenditure. And if a project is paid for with a state revolving fund, which is a non-repayable funding source, the project is automatically deemed deobligated or non-reimbursable by FEMA. So local governments need to be careful which pots of money they're paying for projects out of, because you can't be paid twice for the same project. So that's important to note. Project management contractors are considered a reimbursable expenditure through FEMA and are highly recommended by DEM to assist small government entities with the process. And one note that they told us was that 60% of deobligations from access to FEMA money in the individual assistance reimbursement process are for failure to properly complete the paperwork. It is critical for our small governments to maximize their reimbursement for the paperwork to be properly prepared, because improper preparation kicks you out of the system. And FEMA and DEM are ready and waiting for local governments to submit project worksheets and want to get funds back to the communities as quickly as possible through the 50% speed-up process. And one of the things that DEM offered to us yesterday was that as we go forward, if there is a fund set up by Triumph and there's an application process for access to those funds, that they would work with us to provide a workshop to the local governments to assist in making sure that everybody's dotting all their I's and crossing their T's going through the FEMA process as a part of our process, our application process, just to make sure that the education component is there for our small cities and counties. And, Mr. Chairman, that completes the report from our meeting with DEM. We've also spoken with the SBA, Mr. Ben Watkins, and had some conversation with him about how our money could or could not be accessed as it's currently in the prime fund with the state of Florida.
Are there questions for Ms. Skelton in terms of her conversations with the Department of Emergency Management? There's a lot of data here to soak in, and this won't be obviously the last time we discuss this, but I think before we take up any action, it's important to know kind of what the broad issues are here and who's involved. Ms. Skelton had asked Mr. Lee, who, as we all know, is a regional banker in our area, as well as being a member of our board, if he would have some conversations with CFO Petronas and also with the state's bond council subsequent to the CFO's letter, which suggested that Triumph get in the bridge loan business. And again, as Speaker Ben said, we appreciate the CFO's interest. He's a member of this community. He's a business person in this community, cares about this community. And I know that his concerns are extraordinarily well meant and intentioned to see if we can get all hands on deck to help in every way we can. Mr. Lee, my understanding from Ms. Skelton is that you've had some conversations and you might be able to give us a report on those conversations as well as some of your own reflections, you know, because of your profession. And then I'd like to ask Dr. Dana to be prepared to comment from her background as Governor Bush's economic development agency head as to how the state responded in situations like this in past hurricanes. Mr. Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I think that Ms. Skelton as well as Speaker Benz have done a good job kind of setting the table, and I certainly don't want to be repetitive in what on their points that they've hit this morning. I have had conversations with CFO Petronas on two occasions, and I too appreciate his letter and the fact that he wants to certainly figure out a way that we can help the communities that are in need post-Hurricane Michael. And also had some conversations with Ben Watkins out of Bond Council. And from a standpoint, you know, kind of where does Triumph come in? Where do we have a place at this table? And certainly, I know it's not my goal or any way, shape, or form for us to supplant the Fed or the state's responsibility on the Hurricane Michael recovery. We want to be treated like any other community in this state, that when they've had a natural disaster, that they've gotten the proper funding from our state government to recover from that. From a standpoint of our U.S. Rep. Neil Dunn and what all he's doing for us in Washington, you know, I just want to highlight what our delegation, the governor has been here three times in his first 3 weeks in office. It's obvious he's connected to this and has a very strong desire to help. Our county commission and our city and local city governments, they have been working tirelessly. I know I live in Lynn Haven, And my mayor has wore out a golf cart running the streets of Lynn Haven trying to make certain that the citizens are taken care of. And let me tell you, I don't think that golf cart is a city-owned vehicle. I believe it's her own. But it may be. I don't know. But whoever owns it, they need to put a new set of tires on it because it's about wore out. But I can tell you the commitment from our area has been phenomenal. You know, where do we go from here? In banking, you know, sometimes you need a loan and sometimes you don't need a loan. And sometimes the worst that a thing a bank can do is give you a loan when you can't afford to pay it back. And we have to look at each one of these scenarios differently and approach it from a standpoint. We have a legislative or obligation as members of this board to make certain that we put these monies to work as the legislation describes. And we certainly don't want to just go out and knee-jerk and make a decision to just make a loan just because someone feels that they need a loan at that one particular time. I want to make certain that we're laying all options on the table. And if there's an opportunity for us to help with some ad valorem tax relief, I think that certainly is a way that we should start approaching this. And those are kind of my thoughts, Mr. Chairman, and I'll yield.
Thank you very much. And Dr. Dana, can you give us the long view here as to the approach the state has taken in the past to issues like this, and what your recommendations might be, if any?
Thank you, Chairman Gates. Well, going from my experience working for Governor Jeb Bush, and recall in, I think it was 2004 and 2005, we had a series of hurricanes hit pretty much every part of this entire state. What Governor Bush did at that time was he worked with the legislature to create a special pool of monies which were intended to serve as a bridge loan program. So that was handled at the state level. It wasn't handled by any particular region. So the state put forward this pool of money, and then in each county, working with the governor's office, each county put together a loan review panel comprised of local bankers because they understand what needs to be in the application and et cetera, et cetera. So in my experience, the bridge loan programs worked very well in the short term until entities could get their feet on the ground. And in my experience, they were repaid at a high rate in full. And the loans were low interest, certainly. But as Ben had said, it's important to me as well that we don't take the burden off the state in responding to the recovery funding. The state should not be seeing triumph as taking the burden off of them in helping this region recover. But I've seen bridge loans, and they do work.
The input that I might be able to provide, having met with legislative leaders in Tallahassee as well as members of our own delegation, and I want to echo what Speaker Vans has said, our delegation has been doing yeoman's work. They are on top of this issue. They're on top of the issue of hurricane recovery. They're on top of the issue of ensuring that Triumph fulfills its statutory mission. And, you know, I have, as the Speaker said, a lot of baseball left to be played. The session, the votes on the floor haven't even begun yet. But I would say that our legislative delegation, to a person, has been extraordinarily helpful and supportive in both of those areas. I can also say that our governor, in his proposed budget, has been extraordinarily sensitive to Northwest Florida. If you study the budget, and I encourage you to do so, and study the frequently asked questions document that the governor's office put out, you'll see that the governor intends to fully help and support Northwest Florida. As Speaker Vance indicated, there are a number of bills that Representative Trumbull has filed and other members have filed, Senator Gaynor, Senator Braxton, Senator Monford, Representative Jared Williamson, to deal with this issue of hurricane recovery. And I'm confident that we won't be at a loss for leadership in Tallahassee or in Washington on these issues. I would ask Mr. Schoaf, who probably is all of us on this panel have been affected in the sense that properties, our businesses, our employees, our families, our homes, our neighbors have been affected. Probably Mr. Schoaf more than all the rest of us, even though all of us have been affected. If you would like to offer any thoughts or comments before we take up a resolution which staff has been asked to draft.
Sure, thank you. I think everything that needs to be said has been said by my fellow board members. I'm in complete agreement. This morning, the roofers are still putting up new roofs. The tractors are still clearing the roads. We have got to do everything we can to assist our neighbors and our communities with this restoration project. But I can still remember the feeling we had at my business and with my neighbors while the oil spill was going on. We've had two major disasters impact us in a short amount of time, relatively speaking. And it would be a crime, in my opinion, to take the money that we have to fix the first one and somehow water it down to fix both of them. Supplanting those state and federal funds would be a terrible mistake, and I'm glad to hear everyone else's position on this. I'm 100% in favor of using our funds as a bridge loan to help our local governments get this process rolling until the state and federal funds can come in to pay them back. I think that it's a good move to help our economy get rolling. We need to get the hotels filled, but at the same time, we need to keep in mind that our primary mission is to diversify the economy. And I'm in complete support of this resolution. Thank you.
Members, let's, if we could, have a little conversation about methodology. You've heard the comments from Mr. Lee, who's our member of our board as well as a banker. CFO Petronas has raised the issue of potential bridge loans. We've had conversations with him about that as well as with others. We have input from counties. One of the hurricane-affected counties has written us a letter saying we're not interested in bridge loans. Another county has passed a resolution saying we are interested in bridge loans. The question arises as to whether we ought to be in the bridge loan business or whether people need grants that can do, as board members have said, double duty in promoting economic development and economic recovery at the same time helping out with immediate or soon-to-be immediate cash needs. We had a very useful report arranged for us by Mr. Schoaf from the property appraiser in Gulf County at our last meeting. Certainly we don't have a certified property roll from any county yet, but he gave us previews of coming attractions and let us know what the potential delta might be between property tax revenues this year and property tax revenues next year when you have declining values as a consequence of the hurricane. So we've had some conversation about ad valorem property tax relief. Are there opinions on the board or any input or conversation about the topic of bridge loans versus ad valorem property tax relief versus other methods that we can fulfill our statutory purpose and mission at Triumph to promote economic development diversification at the same time doing double duty with funds to try to help out in the post-hurricane period. Any comments or suggestions?
Mr. Chairman, I'm more inclined to look towards the ad valorem shortfalls and seeing where we can help the city and county governments from that standpoint. I think, you know, there's a number of things that we've learned this morning from Ms. Skelton's report that we also, that many unanswered questions, but we know that many of our county and city governments right now are really struggling with how they're going to make up that shortfall from their ad valorem tax laws. And I think that that's the direction that I would like to see us explore, certainly these, for us to have economic growth and sustain it in our communities, we must have viable city and county governments. And, you know, making certain that they're able to continue to do their job helps us promote this economy and helps us grow it.
Other comments or thoughts, Mr. Speaker?
You know, regarding bridge loans, that's a tough topic. I know there's a lot of municipalities here that would are looking for a bridge loan. I think Triumph has to be very careful not to get in competition with the private sector. Banks make loans. If a municipality wants to borrow money, they normally go to a bank. If for some reason a bank chooses not to advance monies to that municipality, clearly the bank thinks they will not be repaid. I'm not sure that Triumph should be making a loan to a municipality that may not be able to repay their loan. Now, if the state wants to come in, state of Florida says, hey, Triumph, you got this money. You know, we'll guarantee every nickel you loan to communities. We'll endorse a loan. I think differently. I would clearly think differently. It's sort of like Triumph has a lot of money. And by the way, we are committing a lot of that money. And I think before the meeting's over, we're going to give you some updates on that. But so with this pot of money, maybe we choose to get into the insurance business. We go in competition with, instead of with banks, we go in competition with insurance companies. Our cost of capital is virtually zero. We could probably lower people's insurance premiums by 10%. Maybe we get in the car business. I'm sure with that, again, with our cost of capital being so low, we could probably sell cars to people at a cheaper price. That's not what Triumph is all about. That's not what government. We're not government, but that clearly, in my opinion, is not what Triumph is all about. I am more than happy to support bridge loans if, in fact, to communities who banks will not advance those monies to. I'm more than happy to advance those funds if there's a guarantee of repayment. Otherwise, that's the state's job. I mean, I think Dr. Dana said it earlier. There was a pot created, but it was state money. And I'm sure that the monies that were advanced by the state, some of them were not repaid. But that's okay, because as a taxpayer, if we're helping folks in need, I'll help them, because one day we may be in that barrel. But I sure don't want for those people to think in other parts of the state, well, heck, Triumph's there. Let them let them fund stuff. No, that's just, in my personal opinion, that's the state's obligation. And again, if the state's prepared to endorse these loans, make them all day long. But I'm not going to get in competition with banks. I'm not going to get in competition. I don't think Triumph should be in competition with the private sector in any way or fashion. And it's very tempting, extremely tempting. But I'm more than happy to do economic development and relief if there's a way that we can tie it to economic diversity. That's why Triumph was created, to diversify our economy. In Bay County, to have us less dependent upon tourism, and military. Let's build up that industrial side, and we're getting there. You know, we're helping, but I don't want us to get our eye off the ball. I do want to be helpful, and as Mr. Lee said, when it comes to ad valorem assistance to those areas that really need it, I'm all for it. And I think if we're clever, if our attorney is clever, we can figure out ways to tie ad valorem tax relief to economic diversity and expansion and still remain within the statutes. So you asked me for my opinion, Mr. Chairman.
Any other comments at this point? Ever since the hurricane, this board has requested and gotten as to every single application for an award, an assurance that the county from which that application is arising has indicated that application, that project is important to the post-hurricane economic recovery of that county. We have not funded a single project where that assurance has not been forthcoming on the record. My belief is that dollars are fungible and that dollars can do more than one thing. If we have the opportunity to both fulfill our statutory mission of economic diversification at the same time that the same dollars are helping a community get back on its feet in a post-hurricane economy, then that's exactly what we want to do, in my opinion. And I think that's what we're hearing from board members, and that's what I've heard and what I think other members of this board have heard as we've talked with our legislative leaders, that there is an acute understanding of the need for post-hurricane economic recovery, and there is a fundamental support and appreciation for our being able to do double duty with as many dollars as possible from the counties that have been hurricane affected. It ought to be all hands on deck. The federal government, the state government, the great work that Speaker Benz and Speaker Weatherford have done with, and I got to get this right, Rebuild 850 in drawing in private sector contributions, which are now thankfully increasing, as well as help that we can provide through Triumph. If there are no other comments, I did ask staff if they would put together a draft resolution that we might consider, that through debate and discussion here that we could fill in the blanks if we decide to do so. Ms. Skelton, you're recognized.
Mr. Chair, in reference to what you were just talking about in asking the local governments that are in the affected counties about their desire to go forward with their projects, would it be appropriate for the board to add something to the application itself for those counties so that there's actually a written affirmation in the application that the counties support that?
I would certainly support that. I would think that in the counties that have been declared federal disaster areas consequent to the hurricane, that that there ought to be not just a affirmation publicly at our meeting, but that we also ought to include in the application a written certification from the county for the county to say that they consider the project that's applied for to be important to post-hurricane economic recovery. And if they don't, we need to know that. And if they do, then we're able to do double duty with the same dollars.
Should we go ahead and draft something and bring it back to the February 25th meeting, or should we just go ahead and add that to the application?
Well, let's find out if any members feel as you have recommended, Ms. Skelton, or if there's objection. If not, if we do have a resolution comes before us today, we can add it to that resolution with direction to staff. Any comment on that matter? Mr. Schoaf.
To clarify, are we talking about adding a checkbox that says this project specifically helps with hurricane recovery, and if so, a paragraph explaining why, or simply a checkbox?
Well, I think maybe something more than a checkbox, but rather what I would call a formal affirmation by the county that says that this project, which may be a workforce project, it may be an industrial site project, It could be some sort of infrastructure project in one form or another, but that this project is not only valid on its merits, but also that the county deems it to be important in the post-hurricane economic recovery of the county. Any objection to that? Well, if not, if we can keep that in mind as we discuss what staff has prepared as a draft resolution, and who has that resolution, who would like to take it up, Mr. Attorney, have you got that? You want to read what staff has prepared, and then we can debate it, discuss it, fill in the blanks, vote it up or down.
Certainly, sir. On your desk is a copy of a draft resolution of Triumph Gulf Coast, Inc., establishing a major disaster recovery program. Whereas Triumph Gulf Coast, Inc. was created to make awards for projects or programs within the geographic boundaries of the counties disproportionately affected by the Deepwater Horizon incident. And whereas of the 8 disproportionately affected counties, half are also included within the major disaster declaration for Hurricane Michael. And whereas Hurricane Michael was the most intense storm on record to hit the Florida Panhandle and was among the top 4 most powerful hurricanes to hit the United States. And whereas, according to one early estimate, Hurricane Michael is likely to cause $16.9 billion reduction in gross product in Florida alone, a reduction of $11.2 billion in real personal income in Florida, and a loss of 118,500 person years of employment in Florida, much of which is suffered in the disproportionately affected counties. And whereas the hurricane-related expenses incurred by local governments within Bay, Gulf, Franklin, and McCulloch counties from Hurricane Michael are immense. And whereas that increase in expenses combined with the anticipated drop in the taxable value of assets assessed on the respective county's tax roll creates further constraints on the jurisdiction's abilities to maintain millage levels and to move forward with their post-oil spill recovery efforts. And whereas Triumph Gulf Coast is expressly authorized to take steps to aid in the economic recovery, diversification, and enhancement of the disproportionately affected counties of the affected counties. And whereas Hurricane Michael's impacted certain counties' efforts at economic diversification as small business, agriculture, and military and health-related industries were impacted by the disaster. And whereas Triumph Gulf Coast is authorized to make awards from available funds to projects and priorities that meet the priorities for economic recovery, diversification, and enhancement of the disproportionately affected counties. And whereas Triumph Gulf Coast, Inc. recognizes that the impacted counties' ability to maintain or reduce ad valorem tax rates is a priority for economic recovery, diversification, and enhancement of the disproportionately affected counties. And whereas a major disaster recovery program would allow local governments in the affected counties to apply for awards that enable them to avoid increasing ad valorem property tax rates, promote economic recovery and diversification, and to continue programs and projects that enhance the economies of the impacted counties. Now therefore be it resolved that Triumph Gulf Coast, Inc. hereby establishes a Hurricane Michael Major Disaster Recovery Program, known as the program, as a priority for economic recovery, diversification, and enhancement of the following counties, to wit, Bay, Gulf, Franklin, and Wakulla, the Michael impacted counties. And be it further resolved that Triumph Gulf Coast shall commit the sum of blank dollars from available funds to the program, and be it further resolved that through their respective county commissions, the Michael impacted counties may apply to Triumph Gulf Coast, Inc. for an award of funds to address the projected loss of ad valorem property tax asset value, or otherwise identify a recovery expenditure which meets the statutory and or board established priorities for economic recovery, diversification, and enhancement of the said counties. And be it further resolved that Triumph Gulf Coast, Inc. hereby directs its staff to establish written guidelines for the administration and awarding of these funds to the four Michael-impacted counties through their respective county commissions, and present said guidelines for review and approval at the next regularly scheduled Triumph Gulf Coast, Inc. meeting.
Mr. Speaker, did you want to fill in the blank there, or
just a couple of observations?
All right.
I want to kind of get back a little bit on the bridge loan issue. You know, we are sitting on February the 8th. Session begins in a month.
Yes, sir.
I can tell you that this could easily be one of the first bills passed the first week of session. I'm talking about hurricane relief with respect to Hurricane Michael. I think that municipalities, you may want to consider chatting with the legislative delegation to perhaps provide up to $50 million above this $15 million. And this is an observation. I'm not ready for a resolution or whatever. And I just made this up this morning about 4 a.m. I have some really good thoughts before 4 a.m. I could tell you about some of them. But, you know, maybe one of the first bills that passes in the first week of session in both chambers and signed by the governor right away while he's really concerned about this area. I'm not implying he's going to lose his interest, but right now, you know, we have their attention. Maybe there's a tag on there that says, hey, if banks do not wish to make loans to a municipality, but Triumph does, we'll endorse and guarantee those loans out of our state treasury up to $50 million. Made that up. Secondly, currently we have approved $27 million in projects. They're starting. They're underway. We have another $90 million that we're waiting to get our final term sheets done. That's $118 million worth of funds that we have obligated. We have $229 million worth of projects in the pipeline that are active projects that Corey and Rick are working on right now. We have another $640 million worth of applications that are they haven't had a chance to review yet. We're actively working. We're trying our best to spend the Triumph money. So let there be no concern about whether or not we're trying to put this money out there. We're doing our best. Again, as I said earlier, we need to be prudent, we need to be thoughtful, and we need to be deliberate in how we spend this money. And I think so far we have been. So those two are issues that, from a bridge loan perspective, I would feel right now I'm not ready to go there. If I knew there were some guarantees out there by the state, I could see that, but it's got to be short-term because we've got all these projects that we're going to fund, and that's what our mission is, and we have to be careful not to get our eye off the ball, Mr. Chairman.
Other comments? If not, you've heard the resolution. Is there a suggestion as to the dollar amount? You've heard Speaker Benz indicate $15 million. Is there any other suggestion as to the dollar amount that ought to be placed in this fund from available resources?
Chairman, I think $15 million is a good starting point. We can always readjust that or re-look at that after we see what comes in over the next between now and our next meeting. So I would propose $15
million. All right. The resolution in its draft form has been read. You've heard Mr. Lee's suggestion that $15 million be placed in this fund subject to the passage of the resolution. Is there anyone who would care to move the resolution? Mr. Schoaf moves the resolution. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Speaker Benz. Is there debate or discussion? We'll take public comment before we vote. Is there any public comment on this resolution? And I point out to you that we have about 34 minutes left in this meeting, and so we will ask public comment to be very brief and to the point. And please indicate your name and if you represent someone.
Good morning. Thank you all for being here. I'm Commissioner Griff Griffiths, Bay County Commissioner and Chairman of the Board.
Thank you all for being here today, and I understand brevity is always appreciated as I sit up there behind the dais as well. I would like to thank you for considering the bridge loans. Bay County, obviously, then the municipalities within Bay County are going to be under a financial crisis. The bridge loans could obviously help us through that crisis through this year. I would suggest to you, as an example of for ad valorem, the ad valorem ask will not be until 2020 because the TRIM notices don't go out until this summer. Damage assessments are still being finalized. So when the TRIM notices go out this summer, I believe, and this is just my opinion, I believe that the Value Adjustment Board, which happens in November after we've adopted our budget in October, will be the next crisis we face. So we will be doing a budget amendment in December addressing the ad valorem crisis, which we will be accepting in 2020. So for ad valorem, we do appreciate the possibility of using those funds, but that would not be an ask until next year. The bridge loans right now, Bay County alone, the debt we will incur from the storm could be upwards of $400 million that we'll be paying interest only on. We've already borrowed 50. Lynn Haven, Mayor Anderson's, I think, borrowed 10. Panama City has borrowed 50 as well. That money's gone. We have spent close to $31 million to date on hurricane-related expenses, and we expect to have $40 to $50 million in invoices to the county probably today. So we would appreciate any consideration you would give us. I thank you for being here. Thank you for coming to Bay County and meeting here. And if there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Is there any other public discussion on the motion or on the resolution that's before us? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. My name is Michael White. I'm the city manager of Lynn Haven. I appreciate the opportunity to speak for you today. Just like Griff mentioned, it's going to be a very hard road for all the cities and the counties affected by this. However, I try to look a little bit forward thinking, and some of the thinking y'all said about the taxes, ad valorem taxes. I think that's going to be a big problem for a lot of cities. I know the city of Lynn Haven, it will be a problem. I spoke to Ms. Skelton about that. You know, as we look to try to keep people employed, we look to try to offer the services we offer. You know, as you look at diversity, you know, it's hard to bring a business in if you don't have a good law enforcement, you do not have a good fire district, you do not have a lot of the services that the city provides. So I encourage you to really think about that and look out for our interest. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, for your comments. Any further comments before we vote? Madam Mayor.
Good morning. Lynn Haven has not yet borrowed money. We have a line of credit for $10 million. We haven't borrowed any yet, but we probably will be. And I want to just let you know how much I appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak to you directly. Thank you so much for the work that you all do with the Triumph Board. What I would like to say is that I do support CFO Petronas's letter. I think the January 11th, the letter spoke to a lot of our needs. So I do support his letter. I think everything that you've discussed this morning, we don't necessarily have to choose one over the other. I think all of those options could be addressed by this board and in a timely manner. The other thing that I would like to mention, though, is in August of this year, the Florida Chamber of Commerce issued an economic report, and there were 5 counties in the state of Florida which had negative job growth. 3 of those are in our congressional district, including this one. And so Bay County was at a 5% negative job growth in August before this terrible storm hit. And so now we're going to even be more severely impacted than we were before. As people are leaving, people don't have a place to live. And so I would be very bold and ask that maybe you consider economic recovery grants to cities rather than loans as we move forward. And we can bring those out creatively, as Speaker Bentz said, in a way that relates to disaster recovery. And I think that tie very, very succinctly relates the two, that we were already having a crisis in job creation before the storm hit, and now it will be worse. And then finally, on a completely different note, and I'll be very brief, you've mentioned that we're going to be playing a lot of baseball before we get to where we're going 2 or 3 times this morning, so I took that as I could go ahead and get this in. We had an application for $15 million from the city of Lynn Haven to increase our sports complex before the storm to try to help our economic recovery to bring more business in. We've got new industry coming in. We have the biggest Dizzy Dean baseball organization in the state of Florida. And we have no place for those kids to play right now. Our application was denied with a grade of C. And I was like, a C? And so I would...
Madam Mayor, we have 30 minutes left.
Respectfully decline.
I understand you want to talk about other applications, but if there's a way you could...
I was trying to tie it in. Our baseball is very much connected to our city's recovery with small business and people visiting. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Mayor. Any other brief comments before we take this matter up? Yes, sir.
My name is Chris Dosev. I'm here from Pensacola. The $15 million call for $15 million, I think, is an insult. It should be $100 million. This is not a game. And what's disturbing to me is this. You talk about people being all hands on deck. I don't know if you have any naval officers up there, but all hands on deck means you're either getting ready for a storm or you're recovering directly behind a storm in about 30 minutes. It was 112 days. The President of the United States, the Governor's been here three times. You have the CFO of the state writing you a letter to release funds. You're worried about bridge loans and cars, selling cars? Folks, you've made approximately how much money in interest on this $300 million? Is it about $3 million to date? Not $1 has been committed to providing either water or food or assistance to the people in this community. Mr. Schoaf, you should be paying attention to that. Not $1. You have Catholic Charities. You got people coming in from Iowa. I have had people from Canada come down here with tractors to help people in this community, and not $1 has been released from Triumph Gulf Coast to help the people in this community. That is an insult. As far as accountability, who's accountable? Who are you all accountable to? Does the state have accountability issues with you all here? I talked to Mr. Riggs. He's not here today. It's been 18 months. 18 months, and he is yet to put his bio on your website. I'm a Marine Corps officer. When I task someone to do something, I expect it to be done. In this case, who is he? How do we hold, if we can't hold people accountable, keep a website functioning, how do we know that this organization is going to be able to hold people accountable that you claim you're going to be watching for clawbacks?
Let's bring it in for a landing, Mr. Dosev.
All right. So the bottom line is, you should be extending $100 million to these communities. Why? Because they're in desperate need of it. The President of the United States was here. The Governor was here. You should not be hamstringing your friends and neighbors to recover from this terrible disaster. That's what I have to say, and I hope that you all are listening. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dosev. Any other comments? If not, is there a debate on the resolution that's before you? Is there a discussion? If not, Ms. Skelton, please call the roll on the resolution.
Vice Chair Benz?
Yes.
Dr. Dana?
Yes.
Chair Gates?
Yes.
Mr. Lee?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs? Mr. Schoaf?
Yes.
6-0 passes.
Hands show, the motion adopted. And unless there is objection, we will also ask that when staff comes back with the information that we've asked them to supply at our next meeting, that they also provide to us a proposed certification that, just as Ms. Skelton indicated, that counties would provide, so that applicants who come before us from the four hurricane-affected counties would be able to supply us with an affirmation or certification from the county government that the project applied for is significant to post-hurricane economic recovery. Is there any objection to that? Okay, show that adopted and part of the record. The next item on the agenda is a request from the City of Pensacola having to do with Proposal 120, and we're pleased to see Mayor Grover Robinson here today. And Mr. Mayor, why don't you bring us up to date on what happened since we saw you last time we tuned in. You had asked us for an extension of time to come up with additional funds. We understand that you've been hard at work doing that, but that you have a different kind of request for us today, and you're recognized.
I do, and I wanted to get started on my 30 minutes, so I just came up to the podium.
You don't have 30. You got about five.
I just want to say it certainly isn't your fault that we're here today, and it's certainly not my corporate partner's fault. You and they believe they had a deal already done, and I was not here at the time in office when that occurred. But as we came into office and looked at where we were, and I was there in December, we obviously found out we're a little bit short. Some things didn't happen. We were about a $210 million project. We had $165 million, so we're $45 million short. We've been at work trying to find where we can get it. And we have been successful in getting some votes, and we do believe we have some more things that could be pending your vote here today. But we are still going to be short some, and so it is without any other way to know how to do it. We have brought you another request here for $12.5 million today. There's no other way I see the opportunity to do it. But I would tell you, I was two nights ago at the city council, we got an affirmative vote to spend $5 million, and that is a lot from the city of Pensacola to be moving forward with its local option sales tax money. We went to the county last night, and we were there till past 9 o'clock, and we got an affirmative vote that they would give us $5 million to begin putting this project forward. And we got up early this morning and drove over here, and in the middle of all that, I managed to find out that there was a great cartoon making fun of me this morning in the Pensacola News Journal.
But welcome to our world.
I've been there as well. But, to me, it's all worth it in the sense of when I was there at 6:30 this morning. And I wish you could have been there with me, because I was there as shift change happened where this is. And what I saw was a lot of Northwest Floridians that had the opportunity to go to work today in an aviation industry that we believed should be placed in Northwest Florida for a long time. We have the opportunity to do that with what we're doing, not just one hangar as we've gone forward, but we need your help to help us lift three hangars, and not just the three hangars, but more importantly, what I believe will be important to all eight counties in Northwest Florida is the training facility. If we get that lift off the ground, we know that they'll have to have roughly almost 1,500 new employees, but they know through attrition and a variety of other things that they're going to be bringing forward 3,000 people that they need to train properly to have their certifications to be able to participate in the mechanical side of aviation. If we have those kind of people educated here with the skills and the talent, we will see other providers for aviation come to Northwest Florida. I'm convinced if we have the talent, we will eventually get the people here and the jobs. So again, those people who were coming to work this morning at 6:30, I'm here for them, and I'm here for the opportunity for more Northwest Floridians like them to be able to get there. I hate to be here having to ask you again. It's not your fault. It is not your fault at all that I'm, and I hate being here. But to get this thing off the ground, no pun intended, I need your assistance today, and I'm going to leave it. I'm going to turn it back over to you guys, and I'm here to answer any questions. I do want to say I have Bill Hafner, who, if there are questions about the operations in Northwest Florida from ST Engineering, he is here. And I will say I have Stephen Lim, who is here for questions. If there are questions about overall corporately on a holistic situation about ST, we are available for questions, but we have a very short presentation. That's really all of our presentation, other than the fact that we do have another $20 million in from DOT. We went to a request for them. They seem fairly happy. We have not received word from them at this particular time, but everything we hear lets us know that I think they're watching today to see where you go, and I think if we begin to get some kind of affirmative position forward, we will obtain and we will get to that point where we will have all the funding to begin to move this.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and as you point out, Mr. Stephen Lim is here. Mr. Lim is the president of ST Engineering North America. Mr. Hafner is here. We're pleased to see him as well. And he—I can't remember his title, but I think he's the czar of all the Russias as far as ST and Pensacola is concerned. And so, members of the board, if you have questions for the mayor or for ST Engineering, you see before you their request for an additional $12.5 million. Questions are in order. Mr. Schoaf.
Really not a question, just a comment. It took the time to drive over and meet with the past administration and the county managers on this project, city managers, I'm sorry. I think it's wonderful. I think it's just what we're here to do. I think that's an awful lot of jobs, and I think it is where the rubber meets the road.
Mr. Lee.
Chairman, I too agree that this is a great project. And I've said this, I made these comments in a previous meeting. This is not just a city of Pensacola project. In my opinion, this is a regional project. And for many years, we have been trying to land a aerospace project into this region, and this is our opportunity to do that. Do I particularly like having to, you know, readdress it and come back and talk about it? And I don't think that's the mayor's like either. I don't think any of us particularly like the way this feels, in the facet that we feel like, you know, we may be having to retrade the deal a little bit. And but it's our job as members of this board to see if we can figure out a way to make this project happen and to put in place these jobs in the Northwest Florida in a targeted industry that brings in high-paying jobs. I just hope that, you know, that this is viewed as a regional project, not a Pensacola project. And the fact that I would like to see some things on the education piece be more expanded, you know, from not just Escambia County, but to our region. Given the fact that we're investing this amount of dollars, I feel like we've got to get some mileage out of this investment.
And if there are questions about the training program, I'll be more than happy to have ST come forward and at least explain what we've got opportunities. I do know some of the things that they will be doing. Obviously, some of it, people come in, they are, and I'm going to say enough that I'm dangerous about, so if I get something incorrect, Bill, please come forward. But they have people that will be participating as sort of apprentices. They'll be working while they'll be studying. They'll be doing a variety of things. But they do have scholarships available to get to people that need to have the opportunity to go there and be able to do the education part, because some of it is obviously education that you've got to get that you'll be going through that process. But I do know they have their own academy. They've got scholarship opportunities. They'll have other people that will be somewhat in the joint school part of it, being paying for their own stuff. But they certainly will be working through that, giving these people education. If there's an opportunity for us to participate with the workforce boards across Northwest Florida to continue to work and find ways to make sure these skills and these degrees get out there so that we continue to we want to find a way to win. I mean, you're coming out of a terrible experience. This all came out of a terrible experience that we bound together, and we realized after the oil spill we had to do something so that Northwest Florida would win. So there's nobody than myself that wants to see Northwest Florida win, and how we can do this to span across all eight counties.
Further comments or questions?
Well,
Mr. Speaker.
I can't help myself. We've been to the well a couple times on this thing. I will tell you that I'm probably going to vote to fund some of what you need. I don't want to see you here anymore.
I don't want to be here anymore.
I mean, it's just there's a point in time where you got to, you know, you need to drag this thing over the finish line. And I know you've got the company putting pressure on you. I get that. The other thing I would tell you is that's a, while it's a region over there, that's a lot of money, a lot of Triumph money going to one narrow part of the eight-county area. So be mindful that there may be other projects. I'm not saying if it's not a good project, I'm going to vote against it. But at some point in time, there will be members or the public saying, you're going to give it all to Pensacola, you know? And again, I love the project. It will employ a lot of people. In my eyes, that's exactly what President Gates envisioned us to have happen. But let's don't come back very politely and very gently. Well, it wasn't gentle, but it was – wouldn't plot either, but it was direct.
Mr. Speaker, I'm fully aware of that. I do want you to know that the project that was at the Port of Pensacola, the applicant may be moving through with that project, but it will not be at the Port of Pensacola. Pensacola has heard this board loud and clearly that at this particular time we need to go absorb what we've been given, and we certainly understand that. We here know Griff. I saw him earlier. Several of the other people over here in Bay County support them wholeheartedly in what you're going through here in that first request. So we understand, and if anybody's, probably it's their fault, and we'll have to deal with it, will be the city of Pensacola. But it's certainly not your fault, and it's not my corporate partner's fault.
Good luck to you.
Dr. Dana.
Thank you, Chairman. So, Mr. Speaker, you mentioned you would be inclined to favor a portion of that requested $12.5 million. What portion would that be in your mind?
$10 million.
So, $10 million additional to what we've, as a board, have already approved. Is there any appetite to have a commitment for job creation that's more than 3 years?
Mr. Mayor?
I would have to work with my corporate partner, but I think as we negotiate something through with that, I mean, those are things I don't control as much. I mean, from their standpoint, they have to work within the contracts they have that will be coming here. But I think if we could handle that through the negotiation of the work that we have that comes through on the contract and work with them, I think we can try to find something we could do. But I know they have challenges with what they've got, and I'm certainly willing to say, at least from our standpoint, that you won't be seeing the city of Pensacola here while we're trying to absorb this.
Well, let me put a fine point on, sort of in the nature of Speaker Ben's putting fine points on bluntly, and that is there is a draft resolution which I'm happy to offer today. At the appropriate time, I'm going to ask Speaker Benz to preside, and I'll offer the draft resolution. And the draft resolution does ask for something in return for the additional dollars. And the something in return is exactly what Dr. Dana just said, and that is a guarantee that these jobs are going to be around longer than 3 years. And it won't be a matter of negotiation, because it will be in the resolution and it will be in the contract, and the city and ST can choose to sign it or not. But if you choose to negotiate it, don't look for my vote. If you choose to sign it, God love you, and go with God, and, you know, sail with the following wind.
I understand.
All right. Other future or other comments?
Last question.
Yes, sir, Mr. Schoaf.
I know the first portion had to be guaranteed to come out of the money we currently have in our checking account. This money, are you asking the same thing, or are you comfortable with us tying that to future funding?
I'm certainly, I think those are things that I have no problem with the timing in the sense of the timing. That's not the city's issue. Our corporate partner needs to be able to make sure they know that things have actually happened. But again, if we can work through those issues and they know that something's there and they feel comfortable with it, then we can certainly work within those what we can do. I mean, that's certainly what I can do. I absolutely understand their need. They want to know when they put up their $35 million too that we have all the things. The one good thing I can say is I can live with $10 million. I can live with $10 million, and the additional 2.5, as long as we're given some flexibility to find what we can find, that 2.5, we will go find it and work over the next step. We will take the responsibility for it and just give us some flexibility how we end up putting it in there. We're fine. We'll take ultimate responsibility for that 2.5. But so I can live with that portion of it. The other part of it I could certainly live with. I just need to make sure that my corporate partner knows that this is going to happen. They're not going to put their money in and something's not going to happen. That's otherwise, timing does not bother me. Timing on this does not bother me at all.
Further comments? If not, Mr. Speaker, would you preside? And I have a resolution.
Okay, so I'm chairman now?
Yes, sir.
You're fired. No. Yes, we've seen the resolution. Members, I think it's been presented to you. And I think we're talking about a $10 million allocation. Are there any other manner, any other way that we want to amend this resolution? And I'm going to turn it, the passing of this resolution, over to President Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, if I may read the resolution quickly. The resolution is, whereas Triumph and the City of Pensacola have previously entered into a non-binding term sheet dated October 23, 2018, with respect to Pensacola Airport MRO, the proposed grant amount is $56 million, whereas the term sheet contained a deadline of December 31, 2018, whereby the City must obtain additional funding for the project, And whereas at the December 7th Triumph meeting, Triumph approved an extension to March 31st for the city to obtain additional funding for the project. Whereas by letter dated February 1st, 2019, the city's requested a $12.5 million increase in the grant amount. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Triumph hereby agrees to increase grant amount by $10 million to a total of $66 million, provided, however, that the additional $10 million shall be only available as follows. $5 million shall be available if and when additional funds are received by Triumph pursuant to Section 288.8013 Florida Statutes for the expected disbursement on or about April 8, 2020. An additional $5 million shall be available if and when additional funds are received by Triumph pursuant to Section 288.8013 Florida Statutes, the expected disbursement on or about April 8, 2021. Resolve further that none of the grant funds shall be dispersed unless and until the city has provided Triumph with satisfactory evidence that there are firm and enforceable funding commitments for the project totaling not less than $144,125,000, of which not less than $35 million has been committed by ST Aerospace. Resolve further that the job maintenance period set forth in the proposed performance metrics shall be increased from 3 years to 7 years. Resolve further that pursuant to the separate performance agreement to be entered into, ST Aerospace shall enter into discussions with Triumph about establishing a joint venture, such as an academy that would provide training to employees of private sector partners around the region. And resolve further that pursuant to the separate performance agreement to be entered into between Triumph and ST, that ST Aerospace shall make a good faith effort to locate additional divisions of the company or additional jobs in Northwest Florida. And be it resolved further that the Triumph staff and legal counsel are directed to proceed to a definitive grant award that incorporates the terms of this term sheet as modified by the foregoing resolutions, together with such terms and conditions as are recommended by staff and counsel. And that's my motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Dana seconds. Are there any questions? Any discussion? Anyone from the audience wish to participate? Has anyone signed up? Ms. Skelton? Has anyone signed up to speak?
Chair Gates has the list.
I think these are general comments. I could be wrong.
Okay. Even if you've signed up, is there anyone here that would like to comment or speak on this issue? Last call. Okay. Seeing none, we have a motion and a second. Ms. Skelton, call the roll, please.
Vice Chair Bentz?
Yes.
Dr. Dana? Chair Gates?
Yes.
Mr. Lee?
Yes.
Mr. Schoaf?
Yes.
Six members present, all voting yes.
And Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor, good job. Since I have the, I haven't turned it back over to you yet, so don't. I really am serious, and I'm looking at the County Commission Chairman and Mayor Anderson. I really am serious about this concept of getting the legislature to endorse and guarantee loans that Triumph could make. That can't happen. I understand the process pretty well, and I think, Mr. President, you understand the process pretty well. With all the bills that are out there, a clever member of our delegation could tack on an amendment real quick, and that could come before the legislature in the first week of session. And if there's really a push, you know, the governor could sign it by mid-March. Triumph could begin advancing monies at that particular point in time, assuming that the board agrees to do that. But having said that, that's doable. And maybe it's $100 million. As I look at our cash flow, maybe we do up to $100 million to get everybody, to help everyone. But it needs to be guaranteed by the state. So if there's a default on the repayment, and I suspect the repayment needs to be within probably 9 months, 12 months, but to get you out of the ditch. Right now, the ox is in the ditch. We got to get the ox out of the ditch, and we'd like to help, but we just, I think, in order to fulfill our fiduciary obligation, we need to make sure that there's some guarantee on the funds that are advanced on something like that. So it's doable. Push them. Mr. Chairman, turn it back over to you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. We are at the place in the meeting where we have a few minutes left and for public comment. We will adjourn at exactly 11 o'clock, and I am an advocate for the last person who has signed up here, and we have four people signed up, which means that each person can have 90 seconds. We'll start with Judy Carter Williams. Ms. Williams.
I'm Judy Carter Williams, and I'm owner of Williams Bait Farm. And I had filed a claim with Deepwater Horizon back in 2013 with Carruthers Law Group in Fort Walton. They represented me on a business economic loss, and at that time I did not realize what that was about. Evidently, it had to go back 3 years prior to the oil spill in 2010. And 3 years prior to this oil spill in 2010, I had assets of over $500,000. In the meantime, since then, and since all of the disaster from the oil spill and the loss of the bait stores on the Gulf Coast, my income from worm sales have decreased down $530,000 over the last 8 years. I am here today. I should be here like everybody else and ask for money, but that's a joke. I'm here to see where do I need to go, because this BP oil spill has affected me directly. I mean, with the loss of the sales, it has put me to the point that you really don't want to know. I got a tractor that's tore up and pushing on Michael, and it's just unreal.
And, ma'am, I'm going to have to ask you, in deference to the others, to conclude.
I am so sorry, but I just wanted to know. Maybe I'm in the right place to get some information from one of you people that's on this committee to find out where I need to go.
Mr. Chairman, thank you so I'll be much. Glad to visit with Ms. Williams after the meeting.
Would you meet with Ms. Skelton afterwards, please? Next is Mayor Anderson. Did you wish to speak again, ma'am? No, you did not speak at the wrong time. Next is Commissioner Kelly Wines from Okaloosa County. Commissioner, thank you for driving over, and it's always good to see you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I appreciate the opportunity to speak on behalf of Okaloosa County. Unfortunately, it appears that we may have an ox in the ditch on our biggest and most sought-after and most needed project in Okaloosa County in the arena of providing enough jobs. The project in its entirety is approaching $200 million of Triumph. We're asking for roughly a third of that. And Triumph at this time appears to be the kingpin, linchpin for the whole project, because the DOT, the nine municipalities, and Okaloosa County as a whole have stood behind this project and obligated a sizable portion of our most recently passed tax initiative, half a penny. So we're all pretty dependent on this, and I have a simple question, and please don't shoot the messenger, but the jobs component is hard to reach, and I was just going to ask for consideration from this board to could we interject in the formula somehow, some way, a little more infrastructure and greater good possibility, and that's all I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner. Next, Michael White from the City of Lynn Haven.
I will take his spot, sir.
Okay. Madam Mayor, glad to see you back.
I brought up the baseball at the wrong time. I do apologize, but I do want to make one more request. We had asked for a $15 million grant, which we were going to put in a million and a half to support. We do have the largest Dizzy Dean baseball organization in the state of Florida. It is essential to the economy in Lynn Haven. It brings many people in. We are a baseball town, sir. Right now, we don't have anywhere for our kids to play. We had 7,000 children at our Halloween event. That'll let you know how many kids need something to do. I respectfully ask that you would reconsider Lynn Haven's application, which was denied for that baseball project. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Is there anyone else who did not sign up to speak but wishes to speak? We have a few seconds left. Any member of the public wish to come before the board on any matter that pertains to Triumph Gulf Coast? If not, are there any parting comments by members of the board? Ms. Skelton, any final business? Speaker Benz moves to rise.